Morning, everybody, or afternoon.
Is it working? Everybody hear me pretty well?
There's a reason for the drawing board today. And standing down here, pre-warning, before we get into this drawing, I want you to know I went to the Master School of Arts in Drawing and Technology. So if you joke any of my drawing that's going to be up here today, I have all rights to sue you for everything that you own. Prerequisite. All right, so today we've started our involvement fair. Everybody got a flyer for the ways to get involved today. I was driving down the road with my lovely wife, Charlotte, there, and she was in the driver's seat today, and I said, Charlotte, I don't have an icebreaker for today. And I was like, I don't know really what I'm going to do, because I love the icebreakers when we get ready to preach. So I said, well, you know, how do you think that God would tell us to get involved in the church? You know, would he say it a certain way? Would he do it this way? So I said this here. I said, God's going to talk to us one of two ways. This is one example of that. Now, if you want to try to say that word, I'm not sure how to say it, but this is what we call a Rob Morey word, an extremely long word with many letters that means simple thing, three words, a fly, like the one that you swat at. Do you think that God will talk with us in this manner? Or do you think he'll just take the simple road and say it this way here? Fly, a word that means an insect in my house. It's just something to ponder. Tonight's lesson is not going to be that long. Andy did a great job this morning, first and foremost, with presenting everything that was said this morning. But what we're going to go over is something very simple. The classic sermon of many parts, one body is what we're going over here for today. So the reason for the drawing board is that as we go over these certain parts, we're going to draw that certain body part, and then eventually it's going to make the one whole, which is the church of that. I see you shaking your head. I'll get your contact information afterwards, so I can go ahead and see you for such. All right. So first, let's start with the feet and the legs. The legs without the feet will not work. Although you might be going in a certain direction, actually, in order to go that one direction, you're going to have to use your feet. Let's turn to Amos 3:3 and see what that has to say for that. And it says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Plain and simple. When you're walking somewhere, I've not seen it yet before, it's probably out there. When you walk, you normally are going to use both your feet and both your legs to go a certain direction, to go that direction. But if you split instead and do this here, you're going to be walking eventually in one direction, and then soon enough after that, you're going to be falling and hitting the floor and not going anywhere. It's very important to the body that they understand that where we're going is we're going to the truth and to the light to do the work of God. If we decide that we're going to go a different way, that's going to lead us down the wrong path, or we're going to be going two different ways. Another way we can sum up that is a parable that was made for where you cannot serve both good and evil at the same time. While your feet can take you to the most beautiful places, it can also take you to the darkest places you've ever been. Exodus 3, 7 through 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen oppression of my people and who are in the land of Egypt and have heard their cry because of the taskmasters. So I have come down to deliver them from out of the hands of the Egyptian and to bring them to the land of milk, the land flowing with milk and honey. So to summarize that little excerpt up is, you know that the Israelites had a very hard time during the time they were in Egypt. Spoiler alert, if you did not know that already, so I apologize. But they continually prayed to God, and God said that as long as you do what I say, then you will get where you need to go to. So that part we'll start with the feet. I hear laughing. I hear laughing. I got you two times. All right. So clearly as we have the feet here. So we cannot go anywhere without our legs and our feet going in the right direction. Although that our legs and feet might lead us to a bad location, just remember that in all and at the end, God has all things in control. Just continue to stay faithful, and he will bring you out, just like he did, for example, for the Israelites. Now for the hands and the arms. The hands and arms are important because they must extend to do God's work. Andy made a great example for this morning about his woodshop teacher. I apologize, I don't recall his name, but he said, I believe it says, get your feet sweaty. I believe that's what it was says. Get your feet wet. I apologize. Close enough. But if you're idle, if your arms, your hands are idle, what can they do? They can't sweat. They can't get wet either. I apologize for that. So, but if you're up and you're doing stuff and you're moving, thus and fold, that takes interaction, that takes action. So now we have our feet that are guiding us into the right direction. But what do when we come across that one thing that we need? Luke 10, 30 through 34, the Good Samaritan. I'll give Tom the turn if you wish. Luke 10, 30 through 34. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves and stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed him, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road and saw him passing by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite and arrived at the place and came, looked upon it, and passed him by as well. A certain Samaritan who sojourned came and saw the man and had compassion upon him. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his animal and brought him to the inn to take care. So here we have three examples. I believe when we were studying this section not too long ago, that the three people that are mentioned here kind of sort of are in a high caliber part of society. You have the priest, the Levite, and then the Samaritan, which is a lowly person. The two people that have authority and power over everything decide to say, well, ultimately, I'm better than you. I'm sorry for that. Wish you best luck. Hoping that guy come picks you up. But then there's the one person that doesn't have much, but he does what he can to help that person. So his feet took him and guided him over there to do a good act, and his arms and his hand then extended out to reach out and to help that man. When you get to that point in life and you see someone, are you willing to do that? I am not the guy to brag about good deeds by no means, but I believe in paying it forward. So this will be the one deed that I will say out loud, for example, of this lesson that we're having here for tonight. We are in the midst of selling our house. A lot of people don't know that, and it's not a big deal that a lot of people don't know. But we went out to eat at this certain place. When we walked by this certain place, we walked by a window, and I kind of sort of glanced over. I saw something that caught my eye. If you don't know what I do for a living, I'll tell you later. There's a reason why I caught my eye for it. And I looked over. There was a gentleman that was laying out there. We tried camping the night before. That's a whole story in that. But it was very cold that night, so he ultimately had slept out there. So I sat down at a table with me and my family, and I was sitting there. I was thinking, you know, WWJD, what would Jesus do? You know, and I wasn't doing on the behalf to get credit for the gentleman, but, you know, Alexander saw it, and he saw the person sleeping out there as well, too, and he thought the gentleman was out there camping. I said, no, he's not really camping. I said, what his version of camping is, that's his lifestyle for what he has to do. It's very, very hard to explain that to a seven-year-old, but I said, you know, we want to try to help this gentleman. So while we were in there, I did something for the gentleman. It was taken out there to him. And then to see his face smile when he got this item, it made a world of difference to me to have seen that, because I know my little one act did well. So this is the reason why I'm telling you, paying it forward. While we were trying to sell our house, the realtor came to our house, the one that was showing it, and we were checking our alarm to see, make sure when they get in and out and everything like that, make sure everything was good. And our activation hadn't gone off yet. So I called Lisa Smith and told her that no one came, and then she called the realtor to see what was going on, and she said, oh, well, the realtor said the key wasn't out, and she said that your garage door was wide open. Well, there's a problem with that, because there's a reason why I'm trying to move for. I'll tell you about that later as well, too, but all of my personal belongings are inside of this garage door. So my garage is open, we close the garage door, and Charlotte's like, let's just finish eating. So we go home, we take a look at it. If it's gone, it's gone. We can't do too much more about it. Again, you know what I do for a living. I was bothered very badly about the fact that my garage door was open and I don't know what to do. So I ate as fast as I could, waiting for everybody else, and everybody's still eating too slow. So in the course of 5 minutes, I said, we got to go. I said, I can't do this anymore. We have got to go. So we hop up, we get in the car, and lo and behold, every red light there is to come across. We came across. So Charlotte's like, if it's gone, it's gone. You can't do much more about it. I said, I know, but my stuff is in there, and I don't want nothing to happen to my cat. So we keep going. So I call for CMPD to come help me out with that. And we all got to the house. Lo and behold, God is good at all times. Nothing was gone. But I see it like this here. It's paying it forward. You know, it's paying it forward. I'm not saying that there have been any difference if I did or didn't help that male out, but it still is just paying it forward. You know, if you see a situation that's going on, what are you going to do to correct it? Are you going to walk past them like the first two people did and then expect good in return? Or are you going to be the person to go out of your way and help that person out and then hopefully get good in return? Again, I'm not expressing that if you do good things, you'll get good things, and if you do bad, you'll get bad things. Just some things to think about when you're going through life is that paying it forward and having your feet taking direction so your arms can reach out and do God's work. Now, this one's going to be a little bit more difficult because I ain't got nothing to go off of, so just bear with me. All right, so now we're moving in God's direction. Now we have the ability to reach out and to do God's work as well, too. Again, just to bring back up our whole topic, many parts, one body. Now it's time for the torso. The most important part of the entire, well, almost the most important part of the body is the torso. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll read 12 through 26. First Corinthians 12, 12 through 26. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all of his many parts come from one body, is called Christ. For we all baptized by one Spirit, and as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we are all to give the Spirit to drink, or we all given the Spirit to drink. So if the body is not made up of one purity but many, now if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I should not belong to the body, it would not be a part of it for that reason. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were to be an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as they want it to be. If they were all one part, where would they be? That is, there is many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, for these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While we are presentable parts, there is no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor in the parts that have lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffer, every part suffer. For if one part is honored, every part should be honored. Although there are many parts, the torso controls ultimately everything, because without the torso, you cannot connect inevitably everything else that we're going to have up here as well, too. So then we're going to move on to the neck. The neck is most important because it is... Oh, apologize. I forgot to put my picture up here. Let's see if we can't get this to work correctly. I guess I'm going to wear boots. Some socks. All right. So now we have the torso that is working the legs, that is working the arms to go and do God's work. The neck is most important because it allows the rest of the body to work. Let's turn to John 4 and read 7 through 15. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "Are you a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman? How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked me, he would give me the living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw it with, and the well is deep. There, where can you get this living water from? Are you greater than the father Jacob, who gave us the well to drink from himself? And also he did for his sons and his livestock." Jesus answered, "Everyone drinks of the water will be thirsty again, but whomever drinks of the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water that I give them will become them, and the spring of water welling up is eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not thirst, and I will not have to keep coming back here to draw water." The neck. So in essence, what we have here, when we have the neck is actually feeding the torso, which then feeds the arms, which then feeds the legs, to get where we need to go to. So from this, we have to come to a realization that we need the life water to flow through us and when to allow this to happen for the rest of their body to function at a higher manner. So the woman is looking for regular water that we go out there into the hallway and we can see and we can consume of. But what the message is that Jesus is trying to give her is, "I wish to give you the water where you will no longer thirst for anymore." So let's go on to our next. No more giggling, eh? Y'all like that, eh? All right. So, and now the head. The part of the body that if we do not have, nothing will work ultimately at all. So who is our head? What is our head? Christ is our head. If we do not have him, nothing works at all, or period. Until we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we will have no hope to enter the King of Heaven. John 1 and 1 through 5. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, through all things, were made without him, were not made without him. In him, he was life, and life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So if we have Christ in our life and we put him at his head where he should be at, guys, ultimately we're going to be unstoppable. There's nothing out there that should prevent us doing from what it is that we want to do. So again, one body, many parts. He's going to wear a hat. So guys, ultimately this is a light sermon that we're having for tonight, but the whole thing is about is getting involved here. If we don't have the feet to guide us where we need to go to so we can extend our arms to help out that brother or that sister or that lost soul and that torso to give us the ability to do that, the neck to feed us the life water so we will have the willingness to do that, and we have Christ leading us to go about our way and knowing that we have no fear, what or who are we? Because ultimately, like we spoke about earlier, without one part, we cannot do the other, nor should we reject one part in order to get the other one done. Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace of the hearts of the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in wisdom." Ephesians 5:15-18, "See that you walk," there's one of the Rob Morey words, "circumspectly, not that to be fools is wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that understand the will of the Lord. Do not be drunk with wine with dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." If you live Christ-like, you'll do Christ-like. If you don't, then you won't. again, it's the whole thing of pay it forward. When we're doing our involvement fair here, we're not asking for you to go above and beyond your comfort reaches, but we are asking you to at least see what your comfort is for all of that. And the only way that you're going to get to know how to do that is to get involved. So in conclusion, if you have not decided to become a Christian so you can become part of this involvement fair, we have many gentlemen here that will be willing to speak with you to get you on the right path so you can be one of the many parts that make up the one body. If you are here tonight and you are a Christian, you're struggling, and you don't know how to become part of the many, how to become part of the body, the invitation is open for you as well, too. I see a lot of potential here at Lake Norman Church of Christ, but the only way that we get this potential going is with y'all. And once again, once we put Christ at the head, there is no one here or nothing here that can stop us. So with that being said, we will sing our song of invitation.